Rabbit Rabbit. August 1st, 6 a.m. Those were the first words I said this month, so I should have good luck. It's not starting out with particularly good luck, but hey, we do what we can do. The bad luck part that I'm talking about is, of course, not getting Zyphira's call out today, as I had hoped. I'm still getting copy edits back, and I don't have the book formatted correctly yet, so, it might not happen today. In fact, I doubt very much it will happen today, because I don't want to rush it. It's one of those things where I've rushed it in the past. I said, oh yes, well, I can zap this out in 15 minutes, and I'm sure I can. And it'll look like I zapped it out in 15 minutes. The paperback, ironically, will probably be easier to do than the ebook, because I already have the layouts from Ravenwood saved as a template. So all I have to do is import the text, and I've got the new book. I have to go through and tag chapter headings, but other than that, I think I'm pretty much golden. So, yeah. But I want to have the words right. I need to get the punctuation correct. I'm never going to get all the typos, but as long as I've got corrections coming in, I want to make sure that I get them into the book. It'll just make things so much nicer over the long haul. So, yeah. So, thank you, and Calf, yes, for stepping up. Yes, I think you were the one who said bread making machine, and I think a couple other people. I want to say Anita, but it might have been Joyce who said they use it in the summer because it doesn't create much heat. And it doesn't. It's a great deal of fun. It's ridiculous. It's like a magic box. You throw in a bunch of ingredients, and 3.5 hours later, bread comes out. And even the kids have started. You know, I'll go out and I'll have a half a loaf of bread sitting there. I'll go out a couple hours later and find crumbs all over the counter and almost no bread left. So even the kids are getting into eating it. They're liking it. It's a thick, dense, brown loaf. And it comes out gorgeous. No, it comes out ugly, but it tastes good. It's terribly crumbly, but it tastes wonderful. So taste counts, because when you have only so many mouthfuls in a day, you want everyone to count at least twice. I forgot to weigh in. This is the second day in a row I forgot to weigh in. This is what happens if I don't weigh in every day. I lose track. I've been up for an hour. I've had a half a cup of coffee, so if I'm a little rabbit today, that's probably why. Squirrel. So one of the things that took way too much of my time today, there is a British literary fiction author named Ewan McIntosh. No, I want to say Ewan McIntosh, but it's not. It's Ewan Morrison. E-W-A-N. Morrison. Who wrote an article in The Guardian, third in a series of why all you amateurs should just leave the field to us professionals to deal with. His first article was a couple of weeks back, and I looked at it and I thought, oh, that's interesting. It's an interesting take for a man who sells about 2 books a month to be casting aspersions on the sales of people who are selling 2 books a day, for example. Well, today's, I guess it was actually a couple days ago, because I think it was dated the 30th. It's just making its way to me now. Why social media is not a magic bullet for self-published authors. Now, there's so much wrong with the title. Let me start there, and it just goes downhill. To begin with, nobody ever claimed it was a magic bullet. And Well, good morning. Well, a lot of people have claimed to be social media gurus. For the most part, what they are is social media wannabe gurus. And for the most part, what they peddle is bad advice. And he's picked up about 5 or 6 of these pieces of bad advice and held them up as best practice. And he tried them, and they didn't work. And I was shocked, shocked. So this guy who really isn't talking about publishing at all, but really talking about a very small corner of the marketplace of literary fiction, because he doesn't soil himself with genre. So this guy uses some of the worst advice on the internet for social media. Doesn't sell any more books than he did before. And draws a conclusion that social media is worthless as a marketing tool. And the thing of it is, I don't know that I disagree with him. As a marketing tool, particularly the way he was using it, it sucks. It's not an advertising medium. It's not a mass market medium. It's not a mass market channel. It's a niche channel. It's a micro market channel. And everybody who tries to think that it's something else loses the bubble. It's ridiculous. Anyway. Of course, I suppose, in the long run, I've only self-published a couple of titles. Most of my work has been through Ryden so far. I keep hearing this thing thump, and I'm afraid that I'm getting microphone noise. It's been one of the things that I've noticed in the last couple of days is that I've had a lot of these tap, tap, I took about 2 dozen of them out of this file yesterday. I don't want this to turn into another long editing process. I want to go home, I want to upload the file, I want to publish it. But there's a lot of noise on the microphone. That's not good. Speaking of audio, I did get some audio out yesterday, and I got some more audio in. Today's reading day, so that's okay. I'll get it read. It's helping out a friend. It's one of the things you do is help. I need this thing by Monday. Can you do it? Yeah, I can do it. I could certainly do it by Monday. It's not one of the things that's getting in the way of the book. It's something extra. Gotta love that. So, let's see, what else am I thinking about this morning? I'm thinking I need to add up all the books I've sold. I may have gone over 100,000. I may have joined the 100,000 sold club. Wow, can you hear that? Crop duster. He's up there about 1,000 feet, maybe. It's one of the things that I've seen out here that I've never seen before. I mean, one of many things, including prairie dogs. I actually saw a prairie chicken, which I understand is rare, very rare. And pronghorn antelope and crop dusters. And I used to drive down to the tech center every day. I was cruised through farm country, big, flat, broad, 5,000 acre farms with everything from corn to cabbage to onions, alfalfa, sorghum, all kinds of stuff. And then once in a while I'd be riding along and I'd look out my side window and there'd be a plane flying alongside. Laying down a cloud of pesticide or fertilizer or something. Probably something toxic. But it was still interesting. It was fascinating to watch. How can they know what they've covered and what they've missed? How does that work? It's got to be. Like anything else, it's got to be sort of painstaking work, but very, very exciting in its own way, I suppose. It's very exciting to those of us who don't do it, I guess, is what the bottom line is. It's an interesting theme. Lots of stuff. The old grass is greener syndrome. What it is a lot of boring stuff that you have to do in order to do the really cool shit. Oh. La-di-da. It's kind of warmish today, a bit muggy. It's 67, almost 68, I guess, at the back door. And then the airport said it was 63. So about 5 degrees warmer than yesterday. And it's got that muggy feel to it. I'm also a little bit earlier than yesterday. Not by a lot, 15 minutes maybe. Maybe 20. But I got my gear on and got my butt moving this morning. I want to get back, do a little more reading, do a little more catching up online before I start my work day. I have to write an article for amwriting.org this month on the 23rd. So I need to be thinking about what I want to write about. Typically I write about marketing. Last time I wrote it was about value. Pricing. Breaking even. The idea that I don't need to charge $9 to break even, if I think a million people are going to buy the book. Dean Smith still says I'm underpricing my ebooks and that they should be around 50% of what my paper copies are. And you know, in a certain sense he's right. In a certain sense I'm probably leaving money on the table. But the other side of that coin is I'm in just under $5. $5 is the paperback book price that I remember, that I grew up with, that I would plunk down happily, and that every dollar that it went up after that was like, oh, really? And while in the end, when I last bought a paperback, I paid $9.99 for a mass market paperback that was okay, but not great. It was full of typos and was from Tor. It's like, I'm not sure I want to go there. That while there's a certain weighting that happens in the Amazon popular lists, I suppose it's more realistic as a popularity metric that higher priced books should rank higher than lower priced books for a similar sales rank. So if a book is 99 cents and it sells a lot, does that mean it's popular or does it mean it's cheap? The other side of that is that if a book is $6.99 and it doesn't sell as many, does it mean it's popular or does it mean it's overpriced? So if the sales ranks are indicative of how many copies are being sold, and it's being weighted by price, I really don't have a problem with that. That means my $4.95 book has to sell a lot more than the $6.99 books.
Good morning.
To be ranked equally high on popularity. Now, of course, the big issue is a lot of people see popularity and they think it's bestseller. In fact, it's not. The bestseller lists are different. The bestseller lists are, in fact, by sales order ranking. So the sales order ranking is what you see when you look at the pages. But this notion that popularity might be weighted by price, I think has value. I think has some meaning, because I think it has to be more popular in order to sell fewer copies at a higher price. That sales gradient, that price gradient, is so powerful. I think it almost has to be that way. So, interesting take. Which takes me back to you and Morrison. And the comment stream afterward is amusing. Now, in places it's kind of like, ick, ooh, no. Don't really want to go there, do you? You didn't really want to say that, did you? And apparently they did. So that was kind of unfortunate. But a lot of it was really well reasoned. And then it turns out he's not really talking about self-publishing in general. He's talking about self-publishing in his niche, which is a tiny one to begin with. And frankly, I'm not sure it matters. I'm really not sure if I give a damn. But that's me. And speaking of which, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day, and I'll talk to you then.